welcome back to the Shout Louder podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Williams, and today I am joined by Forever Unclean. I love Forever Unclean so much. These Danish guys, they put together this real mix of different genres. It's got kind of like an indie, a skate, and a pop punk flavor. It's got a little bit of everything going on in there. And it mixes together to form this really bright, energetic ball of fun, interesting current punk rock. I absolutely love them. I love watching them live. I love their records. And it was really good to get to chat to them again. They have been on the podcast before. They guested on the Conrad Festival Live in the Woods special that I did back in 2018, but it was really nice to get to sit down with them and have a really proper in-depth chat about loads of different stuff. We talked a lot about their brand new album, Best, which is out now on Nasty Cut Records, Hidden Home Records, and Disconnect here in the UK. It's really interesting to see them do an album as well. They recorded it themselves in their own studio. We also talked a bit about Dive Dogs, which is a live music streaming platform that they developed over lockdown, which again, I think is just this wonderfully current creative project that they've got going on. And we talked a lot about, you know, memories that we've got of good punk festivals and good gigs and good times. It was a very positive little podcast. One of the reasons I wanted to speak to Forever Unclean is not just because I love them, but because they're playing Manchester Punk Festival in April, and I would absolutely implore you to go and see them. They are so much fun. They're really entertaining live, and they're such nice people. So without further ado, this is my conversation with Leo and Lassie from Forever Unclean. Hello, and welcome to the Shout Louder podcast. I'm here with Leo and Lassie from Forever Unclean. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Meeting in the digital interface between countries right now. Yeah. It's honestly it's so nice to see and chat to you guys. I've been really excited about doing this all week.
Yeah, you too, Sarah.
It has been two years and 1 month since we saw you.
Yes, we can put it down to an exact date because the last time I saw you was Do It Together Fest in London.
Yeah.
I was chatting to Colin Clark, I put that on with Paul, and we were saying that it was maybe we were a little bit nervous about putting you on between Call Me Malcolm and Lightyear because they're two big bands for New Cross Inn. And we thought, we'll put you right at the top of the lineup in the middle of these two huge bands. And you guys absolutely smashed it.
I think it helped that we didn't really know the band, so we weren't too intimidated.
When they played before us, we started getting intimidated because not only were they insanely good, but they also like took up so much space, both sonically and physically, in the room. So we were like, "How are we going to fill out those shoes?" But
yeah, that's probably one of my favorite things about ska bands. Actually, is just watching them all try and fit on one stage.
Yeah,
yeah. At least you guys don't have that problem.
No, I think actually we have been on stages that were too small for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like where we could just fit the drum kit and then we would be on the floor.
Yeah.
Well, I saw in, is it your latest video that you've done the classic DIY move of recording in someone's house. So
yeah.
Who needs a stage, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Whose living room did you set this drum kit up in? Like
everyone's. We went. Yeah, go for it, Lou.
All right. Yeah, so we did like 3 days of recording, and each day we took all our gear and instruments into one of our apartments. So it's like one set is each of our apartments.
Oh, fantastic! So
that was a whole lot of carrying gear up and down the.
Yeah, it was stage. A tour.
A little house show tour.
Yeah.
That looked like a lot of fun. I always think you guys do brilliant videos. Actually, it's
Thank you.
You've done some of my all-time favourites. So how are things going with the band? It seems like you've had quite an exciting year already. You've already put out an album and it's only halfway through February.
Yeah. I mean, it's been on the way for a very long time. We started recording in 2020 and it's just been a long wait on the vinyl to be ready.
Because of course. Of all the, yeah.
So it's nice to have it out, finally.
We're all very happy. It seems like it's gotten some really great reviews as well.
Yes, that's so nice to see and read, and yeah.
How have you been able to play it live much yet?
I think we cheated on a bunch of songs. I think we had like 4 in rotation, and then we added also a few other than that. We played 4 of them at the Do It Together Fest, and I don't remember who said it to me, but somebody said, oh, that was brave, starting with some songs that nobody knew. Yeah. So.
But then again, I feel like obviously you had some people at Do It Together Fest who were big fans of you, myself included, you know, but I think there was also a lot of people who didn't know you there, so...
Yeah.
So all the songs are new, so it's fine, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. No expectations.
No. So how does it feel to have it out in the world now?
It feels very good. It's the first full length that we've done. And it's kind of weird because it's been so long since we wrote the songs and nobody got to hear them before now. So I don't know about you, Leo, but I tried not to build it up too much for myself. It's just nice to have it out and be able to soon, for hopefully, play it live and start on some new songs as well. So,
yeah, I've been feeling like when we were recording it actually and working with it, like doing all the mixing and figuring out the songs and stuff, I was more excited about it. Like, what are people gonna feel? How they gonna react to the whole thing? Because it was on our minds 24/7 back then, but it's been so long. So now it's like, oh yeah, right. We do those songs, I guess.
I feel like that must be happening to quite a lot of people at the moment. You know, I know quite a lot of bands who've been sat on albums since like 2019 or 2020, and then it's been delayed either by the pandemic because they, you know, didn't want to release it without a live, you know, a tour to go with it, or, you know, it's been delayed by the vinyl pressing. Like, how difficult is that to... Like, are you already on to new stuff? Like,
yeah, I think it's, I guess, like, really professional big bands are used to that weird cycle of writing stuff and then touring the stuff before the stuff you wrote. And at least I heard about that. But we've always done, like, small EPs, and it was brand new songs we wrote, and then they were already ready for people to hear almost immediately. But because of the long wait with the vinyl, yeah, we got to a point where we almost forgot about the record, and then it came out, and it's just, like, discovering it all over again also for us. So, but it's nice. I think it was worth the wait to get actual vinyl, but I don't know if we would be kind of scared to do that again because that was a long wait.
Yeah, I always think of you guys as being quite kind of short and snappy and fast and current as well. So, yeah.
We're not the most patient people.
2 minute 15 songs is, I think, is 2 minutes 15 seconds the maximum song length?
Probably is. Something like that.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to go for an album this time rather than another EP?
Take it away, Leo.
I guess it just kind of happened. The opportunity sprung at us. So we actually did want to do another EP, but then, you know, COVID and everything happened. We already had like studio time planned out back in 2020, and a few songs ready to record. But then there was just nothing else to do, and at the same time we had finally finished building our own studio that we were planning to record in anyway, so we had like unlimited time to do it. So we thought, okay, fuck it, let's just write a bunch of songs, like more songs and more songs and more songs, and then finally it was it's like barely enough for an album, and we're like, okay, fine, let's do an album.
I think we ditched one of them. So that was supposed to be 12.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think 11's a pretty good length. It's a really good little record. But I remember, I don't know when this was, because obviously we've spoken quite a few times, haven't we? But I remember you at some point saying, yeah, I think the EP is the right length for us because it's really fast and we can just get it straight out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was lucky that. Us too. I think it was just lucky that we were able to write a bit faster than we usually do, so it felt like a big EP almost.
But then also at the same time, John Allen from Disconnect Records, who's putting it out, he has been asking us for like 2 years at that point, can you please just make an LP, because it's way easier to sell than EPs. We're like, no.
But then that's interesting, yeah, because the format has probably changed to an extent, hasn't it? You know, people will still buy an album, but ultimately with an EP, yeah, I'd probably stream it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, also people are talking about it more as if it's like an official thing, where if you do an EP, it's more like, oh, that's nice, you did a little EP. But then if it's like labeled an album, then people will go, oh, this is the real thing. This is like a real record. So yeah, the reviews have been kind of different like that.
That's weird. Do you feel like that's a bit backwards in a way?
Yeah, I think it's outdated, pretty old school.
Yeah, I feel like that's a bit, I mean, I agree. I think I probably feel the same way, but I think maybe that's a bit of a dinosaur.
It maybe also comes with the genre, because there's definitely other music, like completely different music genres that are way more modern, if you will, or like more present. And in which it's super normal at this point to just put out singles. Like, no one does an actual album. No DJs or like hip hop stars do that anymore, almost. Whereas in punk rock and other like niche genres, the songs that are getting recorded and released on a physical format is mainly for like collectors and like big heavy fans of the genre. And people who remember what it was used to be, to be able to buy albums in the stores.
Yeah. It's strange, isn't it? Because I feel like there is a bit of an older audience, and we sort of stick with that. But you're right. I you know, other artists are just dropping singles, or they're doing, you know, singles featuring someone else as well. There's a big thing about featuring other bands on your tracks, and I think we in some ways don't do that enough. But also just like dropping mixtapes is a thing that we don't do.
Okay.
You know? I could see bands doing that. I think it's kind of, I wonder about that sometimes, because I feel like in DIY, we're really big on collaboration. Why don't we do more like collaborations on tracks and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I wonder how things are going to evolve and grow from that point, and how it's going to change.
But I think some of our friends just recorded an album as well, which you produced, Leo. And I think we had a lot of friends there joining in, right? At least on vocals.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Whose album was that?
They're called Dungeon Days from Denmark, Copenhagen, Denmark.
Oh, cool. I read about them in, what's the zine? The Cut the Crap zine.
Yeah.
The Nasty Cut do. Yeah. I really, really like that little zine. I think, obviously, I did an interview for it, like in like the third issue or something like that. And like whenever that comes out, the layout's really good. I love that it's online and it's just available. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, that dude, Andrew, who does it, he puts so much effort into it. It's like insane. But it also takes up all his time, and he's super stressed out about it all the time.
I know the feeling. Yeah. Yep. well, I that's one of those things, actually. I wish more people would hear about that, because it's such a good little online zine. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's really good.
But so you're releasing through Nasty Cut this record as well, right?
Yeah.
So how did you guys get to know each other?
That's I ask myself the same thing sometimes, because I think Andrew was this kind of person that just sort of was in my life. I think you guys hung out with him skating in that little skate park, right, Lou?
So he's from Greece but moved to Copenhagen some years ago. I don't even remember when, like 3 or 4 years ago maybe. And he started going to shows because he was into the same kind of music and knew some of the bands already and like part of the scene actually, and he had the record label Nasty Cut Records already before he moved. Back then it was located in Greece, but they were doing records with the same kind of bands that plays in the same scene throughout Europe. So he just became part of that, and somehow we got to hang out a lot.
Yeah. And he's been helping out in the live streams as well we do in the practice space studio thing.
I was going to say, so you've been building a studio. You've also got Dive Dogs as a project, right?
Yeah.
Am I getting that right? Yeah. How has that come about? Tell me a little bit about the history of it and how it first started.
That even before we built our studio, which is we started doing 3 years ago now, I think. We had a lousy practice space, like so many other bands, and we were really tired of it, and we wanted to have a bigger space where we could do things like everything that we wanted to do. We wanted to do gigs, and we wanted to build instruments, and wanted to throw parties and hang out, just have a cool hangout spot. So we found this kind of a ideal place for it, where we built a studio. And then COVID happened again. So initially we thought we were going to have bands playing live sessions, recorded live sessions that we could post-produce and put on the internet, Audio Tree or KXP or Bridge City Sessions and all those channels.
All those cool things.
Yeah. We wanted to do that too. We wanted to be cool.
You guys are cool.
Yeah. And then our good friend Philip, who has a lot of experience with doing TV production and movie production, he said, you could just do it live, actual live on the internet, because people are doing that now. So we got the right equipment for that, and we just started doing it, basically. And luckily, a lot of bands were into it, because no one were playing shows, so everyone was super eager to come out and do a live session in our studio.
That's so cool. Honestly, it's just such a cool project to have. And I just was, when I first heard about it, I thought, okay, that sounds like a great little project. But I was also really impressed by how high quality it was. The recording's excellent, the visual's excellent, you've got multiple cameras going on.
It's really
good.
We're still learning, but it's getting better every time.
Yeah, fair play. What's been most challenging about it? I imagine doing anything live is a bit of a nightmare.
that aspect introduced a whole charade of things that can go wrong.
I'd say cables are the biggest challenge.
Oh yeah,
cables. Yeah.
What tripping HD, over them,
HDMI cables?
Yeah. Oh, they're fragile, aren't they? God.
It's like a big whip of, because everything has to be connected all the time. And if one thing fails, the whole operation just flares out, which happened a few times already. Nothing too disastrous, but when we did live stream our own band, the first 15 minutes there was no sound on it because someone stepped on the main line for the sound cable.
I remember that because actually, do you know what? That was one of the best things. I really, really enjoyed that when he did. So you did the album launch, kind of live streamed on Dive Dogs. And there were a bunch of us who were dead excited. And we were like, right, okay, we're definitely going to log on at this exact time. And I was texting people and we all had beers. We were all sat in our living rooms by ourselves, ready to watch you guys launch the album. And then, it was dead silent for the first 10 minutes. But it was just funny. It didn't cause a problem for us. But I remember when you restarted and obviously restarted the exact same set.
Yeah.
And you had a live audience there as well, right?
Yeah, that's also introduced some problems.
That's probably one of those guys who stepped on the cable. Because we wouldn't do that.
But I just remember thinking it was funny because the audience had probably had to just watch the same two songs twice.
Yeah, they were just happy to see a set, basically. So they didn't mind at all.
And they were super drunk as well.
Yeah, that helps.
The best kind of audience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone's enjoying themselves. That made such a big difference. And it also felt we've got this great little scene across Europe that, we've all popped up at the same kind of festivals or, events in different countries, which is lovely. But it can be difficult being so spread out some of the time. I don't get to see you guys that often. And it was really nice to be able to kind of connect online, but in more of a structured way, like it was actually a gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an event that I'd written in my calendar.
Oh, that's so cool. It was my favorite part of that night was reading the live commentary on YouTube as well, because it was just all our friends from everywhere. And it was We didn't expect so many people to tune in.
Yeah, I remember having quite a long chat with Petter from Rubik, and
you were talking during the set. Don't talk during the concert.
Oh my god, I guess that's another thing as well. You can watch the band and have a chat at the same time, which, you know, if I'm at a gig and someone's talking next to me, I'm annoyed.
But text is okay.
Do you know, I was at a gig this weekend. Roughneck Riot have just done this like big return gig. So they did a headline show on the Friday and a headline show on the Saturday with different support bands each day. And on the Friday, there was a band that a few of us weren't quite as into, should we say. And I noticed that across the room, the person next to me was texting someone who was stood like five people away. And then they were texting someone else who was stood on the other side of the room, and everyone was texting each other going, don't you think that this singer looks like so-and-so? Like, and they were talking about the gig via phone at the gig. And I was like, what are you doing?
That's
talk normal? About losing the audience.
Oh, bless him. It was, yeah, well, you know, you can't love every single band, can you? Apart from that, though, I have to say to anyone who's listening, it was amazing. I've had the best weekend.
Great.
How long have gigs been big on in the UK?
I was going to ask you a similar question, actually. So in the UK, I think the first gig that I went to post-lockdown was in August, at the beginning of August. And at that point, it felt really uncomfortable and it wasn't quite right. And I remember even going in September and October, it wasn't quite right. But we still had... in January and December, like COVID kind of came back with a vengeance and everyone started catching it. In fact, we all caught it at gigs. Like if you went to see Snuff, like 10 people caught it. If you went to go see Call Me Malcolm 2 days later, everyone caught it. You know, everyone at Incisions caught it as well. It's just, it's gone around the scene here now, I think.
Yeah.
But there was a point in January where it was looking pretty rough again and we cancelled loads of shows in Manchester. There were a couple of gigs. I was putting one on for my birthday, like I do most years, and we decided to cancel that because we just we didn't feel comfortable with the idea of someone getting COVID at our show.
Like, no,
especially it was going to be a very packed out show in a basement with poor ventilation, and we were like, I just this feels, you know, it's no criticism to anyone who is doing it, but it just felt irresponsible. So while we've got people listening, we've now rescheduled it, and it's going to be on the 30th of July, and it's going to be very exciting, and you should buy tickets.
Nice.
So. Yeah, there you go. What about you guys? Like, when did shows come back?
It's been on and off, hasn't it?
Yeah, there was a bit. There was a dip at some point last year where everything kind of opened up again, and then it shut down again as soon as it got into fall, and you know, regular flu season kind of does that.
Yeah.
When did we play the shows with Omso around Denmark? That was in December, right, or something? November. December, I think. There was like this...
What is time?
Yeah, exactly. There was this
I genuinely feel that. I'm completely thrown off. I don't even know.
But there was no like a shallow month or something that everything just opened up again and we luckily got to play a bunch of shows and then right after, it died out.
Yeah. Did you have anything cancelled? Like, did you have any tours booked that got skipped or anything like that?
Yeah, we've been trying to get to back to Manchester ever since 2020.
We will make it happen.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. This year, can we please?
Well, you're on Manchester Punk Festival, right?
Exactly. But that's the thing. Yeah, we've been on that program since 2020, and it's just been delayed, and other festivals as well. Similar thing. So, I think we're all used to not really, like, we say yes to everything and we don't really believe it's happening, but let's see. Better times maybe ahead, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I think, touch wood, fingers crossed, all that. I think the odds of MPF going ahead are pretty high at the moment.
Yeah. Unless there's like a third world war or something.
Potentially. Yeah, I was booking this. I'm looking at booking a holiday. Actually, I'm going to come out your way. I'll tell you about this later. But I was going to try and come out your way in September. And then I'm like, well, what if the world ends before then? Like, hopefully no nuclear war before that. Anyway, MPF in the background at the moment, there's loads of stuff happening. Like, it's got to the time of year where it's starting to feel really, really active behind the scenes. And I was talking to Tree and some of the other guys this weekend, and they've literally spent the last 10 nights like hammering away to try and get the running order right. Obviously you guys have been before, you've played and you've been just to have fun. Like, have you had problems with clashes in the past?
And I don't think so, actually. I think we've been kind of lucky.
Yeah, very lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also we've had like a very, very loose schedule.
Yeah.
We mainly try to go to shows that we don't know, like bands that we don't know beforehand. Obviously, we want to support our friends, or if someone like we're really, really into is playing, we're going to that. But other than that, like discovering new bands.
Yeah, you can't really lose in that festival, I think.
No, I think you're perfectly right. It's difficult, actually, because there are so many bands that I'm friends with playing, and obviously I want to see them, but I am keen to see all the bands I haven't heard of who I might not catch touring or something like that, you know? There's a few bands on my list for this year, like Accidente, I really want to see. They're from Madrid, and okay. I've never had a chance to see them. I can't think who else. There's absolutely loads of bands. Yeah. I looked at the lineup and went, well, I'm going to be busy. Yeah. Is there anyone you're really excited to see?
Yeah, definitely. I really, really want to see Shit Present.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. Band. I'm so glad they're back. I remember seeing them do a tour with the Smith Street Band.
Yeah.
So many years ago. Oh, God, I don't know. Yeah, I absolutely love them. That's going
to
be good.
It's one of those bands that I discovered and got really into at a point where they weren't really playing. And that happens so many times where I'm just like completely into a band and then I find out that they've either broken up or are in some kind of hiatus or something.
Yes.
And I feel so like I'm missing out.
Have you had any other bands like that in the past? Like, I feel
the
like
arteries.
For me... Oh,
yeah, the
arteries,
yeah. We saw them a few times, but it was sort of like in the like before there was, yeah.
The
then you go and see like pictures and videos from like cool house shows, and you're just like, where was I at when that happened?
Why wasn't I cool enough for this? Jamie from the Arteries has actually done some of the artwork for MPF this year. He's designed one of the t-shirts.
Oh, I'm gonna get that.
Yeah, also that then made me dig in and go have a look at his website and stuff, and he does it under the name
Vitamin C. Yeah,
oh my God, his artwork's really good.
Yes,
like I really love it. It's really colorful.
I have one of the paintings in my living room, actually.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, prints. I guess it's a print technically.
Well, we can say painting, you know.
Yeah, picture. Drawing.
I really like collecting, like, you know, artwork from my friends, but I haven't got enough frames. Why are frames so expensive?
Yeah, I think I have a drawing of Leo here. You can see it.
Ah, cool.
But people can't. That's rude. Sorry. We have a video going, but I guess that won't be on the podcast.
So basically, Lasse made a drawing of me and put it on his old wall.
Yeah, because I hang all my own art, of course.
Actually, I can ask about that. So to describe it to the listeners, that was a drawing of Leo's face. Yeah. Was that your birthday, Leo? Was it like every band that you play in?
Yeah.
Can you just give me a quick list of the bands that you're currently playing? Because there's always loads.
I mean, yeah, I'm currently playing in for Forever Unclean and Kill the Rooster. Mm. And I think that's about it. But then on top of that, I'm playing for a bunch of bands whenever I have the time for it. But they also use other drummers as well. So that's Rebuke from Sweden, and From the Tracks from Sweden also, and Fabled Mind from Copenhagen.
I love Fabled Mind so much.
Right at the moment, I'm learning a bunch of songs that Dion sent me because they were recording a new album.
So, oh, are they?
You heard it here first.
Ooh, yep. Very exciting stuff. Yeah, I really fell in love with that record, the last one.
Yeah.
Which must have been, again, wasn't that just before the pandemic? They played, Do It Together Fest as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had a small UK tour, right?
Yeah, I saw them in Warrington.
Yes. Was that before or after Do It Together?
I think that was before that. Do It Together, for me, because we went into lockdown about 4 weeks
after. Oh, yeah,
after
of course,
that.
Yeah. The lockdown right after that, yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to remember because I thought that it was my last show before the lockdown, but actually I think I went to see Counterparts in the middle. what was I on about? Yeah, that's an awful lot of bands, but I suppose, is that part of the peril of being a drummer, that you find yourself in a lot of bands?
It's the fate and the life you have to live when you're a drummer.
I suppose, do they not like warn you of that when you're kind of a teenager and you're learning to play? And...
No.
Well, your future is 17 bands.
I think it's a nice, I mean, I don't know, but I'm imagining it's a pretty nice situation to be in. I remember when I tried to get Leo to play in my band way, way back, he told me that, yeah, that would be kind of cool, but I really want to make music that people want to listen to. And then I was like, oh, okay. And eventually I got him. Just took a lot
when you wrote better songs.
What were you writing before?
It was the very early stages of one of my older bands, Starspangled Stripes, the horrible band name.
I'm sure I remember seeing you as Starspangled Stripes some years ago.
Ipswich, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Well, I remember meeting you in Ipswich when you were playing as Forever Unclean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because that was the venue that I was one of the managers
Smokehouse.
In.
Smokehouse.
That's the one. I really miss it there. It was good fun.
Yeah, it was.
So when did you guys first meet each other? How long have you kind of been in bands together?
I remember the day, actually. I met Lasse.
Oh, I don't. You remember the day. I want you to describe it to me like it was your first date. So
kind of was.
I was wearing a red shirt and a flower in my hair. And Leo was across the room by the end of the bar. No, that's not true. I don't remember. Leo, go ahead.
No, it was the day that the Roskilde Skate Park opened in Denmark.
Ah,
and,
yeah.
There was this gig where a bunch of weird bands played, but Millikan was there, so everyone went.
Ah.
Because of that. And that must have been 20 years ago, maybe.
Wow. No,
19 years ago.
It's been a long time since that. I remember that. That was actually, wasn't there something wrong with that skate park? It was like...
Yeah, it was terribly designed.
There were two short distances between the objects, and people were like trying to, like, all the pro skaters that were there for the opening, they were like sort of trying to look like they liked it, but they didn't.
So they booked this whole. They was like doing the days of Tony Hawk's.
Wasn't
there
D12 was there, right?
Yeah.
Oh wow! So proper Tony Hawk's material.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They were trying to like. Do it off of that wave, and then they booked all these very professional skaters from all around the world. Tone Hawk wasn't there, but
Hone Klifberg was there. I remember.
And they were all just bombing it and being super angry.
Yeah, because they didn't have enough room in the small skate park. It was really pretty. Nice. It was like somebody designed it that weren't really skating themselves. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you're listening to this somehow.
I don't think the Shout Louder podcast has quite that much reach.
They will after this episode, I'm sure.
Oh, well, that sounds that's like proper skate punk as well. I love that. Like, yeah, I feel like it's amazing how much influence Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 had.
Yeah.
I did an interview where someone was interviewing me the other week, and they said to me, oh, so when did you first get into punk? And I always say, to be honest, I don't really know. I just sort of always have been. And then I thought, actually, no, probably the first time I heard or got into punk rock was Melancholin playing on the second level of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Yep.
And also, I remember I was really bad at gaming, and I got really stuck on that first level where it was playing No Cigar over and over again.
That's one way to get really sick of a song.
Oh man, I love that album though. Like it's buried in my brain somewhere, I think.
It's one of those masterpieces.
So you met at a skate park like 20 years ago, and then kind of how did things develop for you both? Like, what's your little musical?
So we're from Denmark, and Denmark is a small country. So if you're into something even smaller, like punk rock music, then everybody knows everybody, basically.
Yeah.
So we hung out at the same bars. We played in each other's bands somehow.
With each other's bands anyway, like
we
played so many shows together before we were actually in the band together, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I guess it was just the better friends we became. It ended up being that we were touring together a lot, and we had the same practice space also, the two bands we were playing in.
Yeah.
So it kind of
and Troels, the third guy. He and I was always in bands together, like even before that.
Yeah, he was sort of a package deal.
Yep. You could say that.
Yeah, it's perfect. Rhythm You've got like section. Your little backline section, yeah. Oh, it's great. It just sounds like, I don't know, it just sounds really fun, to be honest. Like, it's nice that it's been part of your life for so long.
Yeah, it's been really long.
Do you feel like, I mean, obviously, I know that you both do lots of other things, but do you feel like kind of music and DIY in that way, do you feel like it's like affected your life, like the path that you took?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, definitely. In what way?
In a lot of ways. I think the mentality changes you a lot. Like, if a lot of people are helping you, you can't help but change as a person, and also feel like you have to help other people. And so that's like the whole DIY part of it. And also, I've always had a like, music for me has always been like a big anchor, I think, in a good way. But I've had some opportunities to move away from the city. I've always chosen to stay because I wanted to stay in my band. So that's a big thing, I think.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I love that. I was talking to, this sounds like a name drop and I don't mean it to be. I was talking to Jeff Rosenstock. Well, I wasn't actually talking to him. It was via the internet. But I was interviewing him for the MPF program, and I asked him, like, because I think of Jeff Rosenstock as being like synonymous with DIY. You know, he's taken such a DIY approach over the years. I love the fact that, you know, all of his albums, you can just go and download them for free on the internet if you want to. And you know, and I said to him, you know, what do you feel like you've learned from DIY? Like what kind of changes has it made to your life? And he said to me, well, he gave me a really long answer actually, but one of the things that I took from it was he said that you can do stuff yourself. That's what he's taken from it. Like, it, and I realized I felt the same, that you see so many people doing things off their own backs, like learning to do their own recordings, learning to do sound engineering, learning to do their own social media and their marketing, learning to release their own records. Like, you can take that to other aspects of your life and say, well, you know, I might be struggling with this now, but I can do it myself.
Yeah.
You know, or with my friend's help. Like, you don't need, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of an enabling thing, you know?
It's like growing up and you see all the adults driving cars and you think, oh, that's an adult thing, that's pretty cool, they can take me places. Yeah. And then you figure out, oh, I had a driver's license all along, it was in my pocket, I can drive cars if I want to.
That's sort I didn't of like know, the, yeah. Like, I remember going to like bigger gigs when I was younger and always feeling like there was like people in the bands and they were up on a pedestal and they were this whole different thing and I could never touch that. I could never be part of that.
I still feel like that.
Well, and then I realized that no, that's not how it works at all. Like, we're all on the same level, we're all just people doing stuff and we all just love music, like you know, and anything that you think you might want to do, you probably can do if you put your mind to it. Maybe.
Great Scott.
But yeah, so what's in the works for Forever Unclean this year? What have you guys got planned?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully, like we said, Manchester Punk Fest will be a thing. That would really be cool. Really, really nice.
I've got all of my fingers crossed for you.
And we're working on some shows so we can sell all the records we've got in the basement.
And t-shirts.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of t-shirts. Please buy them.
So we just stocked up on everything because we were out for so long. It was like now we're gonna like do this again, and then
yeah. And as a band who was forced not to tour, we obviously had more money than we were used to, so we can just buy some more t-shirts.
That's funny, isn't it? Because you'd think a touring band might make more money when on tour, but that's not how it works.
I haven't had this much money in like 10 years or something, like, since before I was touring.
Oh god, I know, right?
Which is not a lot, by the way, but it's still more than minus 20.
I think that's your answer to why Dive Dogs looks like the big production that it is.
Oh yeah,
because Leo had some extra money lying around.
Oh, it's so good. I think as well, it's not just, I mean, I can't speak because obviously I'm not a touring band, but I think just not having any shows as well, I realize that's where a lot of my money goes, is tickets, and travel and
the bar,
living, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, accommodations, all that.
Yeah.
At the moment, I was doing a budget last week, and I wanted to go to 3 gigs this week, and I was trying to work out. I was like, oh, okay, if I go to those 3 gigs and I'm travel, I've got a drive to do with them, and I was like, right, it's gonna be this much petrol, and then I was thinking, right, so how much food can I buy? And I was like, right, well, I'm gonna get the cheaper food this week so that I can go see Roughneck Riot 2 nights in a row. Like,
We usually when we are on tour, we usually have like a special wallet for whenever we sell some t-shirts or records, and that's what we use to buy food, actually. So please buy stuff if you see us live, because otherwise we won't eat.
Which is actually true, by the way. We had days without eating,
but it's not a joke.
It's but it also entices us to like put in an extra effort to try and sell some stuff.
Sell the merch. Feel it in your stomach. You have to like sell one more t-shirt.
I'm hungry. I must sell this t-shirt. Yeah,
We have been selling merch to like random people in the streets also.
My friends in Bruise Control played last night and then got the train back from Warrington to Manchester, and one of them on the train was trying to hawk merch, like was walking up and down the train going, Bruise Control Knuckles t-shirt, £10, and someone bought one.
Nice.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's a train ticket sold right there, right? Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
It's strange the things we do, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun.
So you've got a lot of records sat in your basement right now. Yeah.
Yes, a lot of them.
Fair play.
Different colors. We have green, we have yellow, whatever you need, people.
Really liked the competition that you guys did. As long as it's those two, somewhere in the green yellow region. I really liked the competition that you guys did with the release. How did you get the idea for that?
I think we got the idea for the prizes first. We really wanted to give people a chance to listen to the tape we also made, which is yellow as well.
Cool.
but we realized maybe we should have to sell old school Walkman. Is that the plural of Walkman? Is that Walkman? I don't know. Some cassette Walkmans. Players.
I don't
Walkmans.
Know.
Walkmans. And then we decorated two of them that we found, and then we figured out a way to unload them to people, which was to have people do a little tribute art to the record. And it was very fun. One of them, the winners, we know from a tour way back. So that was very cool.
Cool. I tell you what, a Walkman or Walkmans. I feel like a Walkman is actually something I really need. Like, I bet there's loads of people in the last year who were like, I really need to buy a cassette player, because now, out of nowhere, it's 2022, and for the first time in my life, I own cassettes.
Yeah. Like, but Sarah, I didn't see your entry to the contest, though.
I didn't get a chance to. I can't color in. I have no artistic talent.
You should have seen some of the entries, though. No,
you could definitely be in the top three, I think.
Oh. Like number three, so you wouldn't have won anything.
Yeah, but you would have been close.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate your faith in me.
So speaking of obsolete medias, we should start putting out mini discs again, I guess.
Yeah, it's a shorter. It's a shorter wait for sure. You don't have to wait a year for the vinyl thing.
That's true. I heard that they're now starting to run out of some of the components to make cassettes as well, so there might be a cassette shortage coming.
Yeah, I read about that. It's so fucking stupid.
The thing is, CD. I think it's best we don't knock the CD as much as we do. People don't want them anymore, but actually they're pretty great. And also, a CD collection is much easier to move house with than a vinyl collection.
True.
But all my vinyls are intact and all my CDs are broken. Why is that?
That's interesting.
Like the cover?
Because mine are too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not durable enough for the way I listen to music.
Violently.
I mean it when I hear an album.
The only time I listen to CDs nowadays is that I have some in my car. Yeah. Like, I've got Bluetooth and stuff as well, but I've got like a stash of CDs in the door pockets.
Yeah.
Why can't I think what that's called? Like this door shelf, and then in different little nooks and crannies in my car. But I've noticed some of them are getting broken like more regularly than you think. And last night, my friend Tree, I was driving him over to Warrington, and he closed the door of the car so hard that all of the CDs flew out of the door.
Oh, no.
And all over the car, and broke two of the cases. And I was like, oh, that's what's happening, is it? I see. Right.
That's what happens when you put a Whomping Willow into your car.
Yeah, he doesn't know his own strength. He's like a puppy that, or a dog that still thinks it's a puppy or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean. He still wants to sit on your lap.
Yeah.
Not the
tree. All the time.
Why do you think your records are in better condition, though, then? Do you think you look after them more?
Yeah, they're bigger. I have to use two hands, and yeah.
You can't just throw them at something with a needle on it.
I have some of my father's records, like old Led Zeppelin stuff, and they're better looking than my CDs for sure. Yeah.
That's really cool. I've got a few that are a bit warped, and I think that there are two ways. Well, I worked out that some of them have been warped because I bought them in Slovenia and then it was hot. Like, I think that's fair enough. But there are some others which I bought recently that were definitely not warped when I bought them, and they are now, and I don't know what's happened in between. Like, they're not sat next to a radiator. How does that happen?
Yeah. We have to go for the mini discs in the future.
Yeah.
They're much more reliable.
I remember recording, when I was younger, I did some like live recordings and live videos for bands who were playing, and we recorded all of those on mini disc. Like off the desk, and I've still got them like on my shelf. Why? I've got no means of playing it.
You have no reason to throw them out. They're so small, they don't take up any space.
And they exactly. look so cool.
Yeah. They're in the Matrix.
I can't help but think, surely there must be some other medium that you could probably press music onto, right? I'm just imagining some kind of device that maybe holds MP3s, but that isn't... like
maybe you could do like a music box.
Oh, where you turn
the
key.
Crank. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Your songs are short enough that they could fit on one of them.
Definitely. Yeah, and you can make up the tempo yourself, so you don't have to get stressed out or anything. Just play it really slow and use it as a lullaby. Like a really scary lullaby.
That's perfect. Recording wise, so what did you said that you recorded best yourself. So, had you recorded your previous stuff like yourselves as well, or was this a different kind of approach?
So we did like a demo EP called Shreds, and then we did the EP Float, and then an EP called Woof. And Woof was the first time we did in a studio, and we did it live where we all played at the same time. And that was a total game changer. That was so fun and such a good experience. So when we had the new studio and it was big enough to do that as well, we thought, yeah, let's just give it a try and do that ourselves. And then the other times we've had a guy called Jakob Bredal in Denmark to do the mixing, and we had him do it as well here. So it was fun. It was like, kind of like the best of three or four worlds. I don't know how you say it. it was just very good. Yeah.
For you then, obviously playing, I can imagine, but I don't know. So how does it differ tracking it to doing it in a live room? Like, what's
sounds
is it just
worse.
More fun? Yeah. And it sounds worse. Yeah, yeah.
it's more fun. Yeah,
yeah. You don't. You get to do it together, and you feel that. It's hard to explain, and we don't care about the minor imperfections or sometimes major imperfections that come out of it. We just find it charming, and some great records have been recorded that way. So I think it's just, yeah, once you try it, and if you've rehearsed enough to do it, then it's very fun. Instead of like sitting chugging away at the same song alone and everybody's watching you, and it's just, yeah.
One thing we've learned from the past from playing in all those other bands is that we all really enjoy jamming out, as you say, together and play music live, and we also all hate playing individually. Like, none of us practice alone.
I do, Leo. I practice alone. But it's not fun. I will give you that. Oh, yeah.
Fair. Well, yeah, that sounds a lot more fun to do it in a live room. I mean, I always find with, I do think you can tell the difference when you're listening to stuff because it also sounds more lively. Like it sounds, it might sound a bit messier, but I mean, it's punk rock. Who cares?
Like, yeah. We really like the idea of the, so the result is like in the end of the equation is the combination of different factors that were exactly how they were at the given time. So like the mindset we were in, the equipment we were using, or rather the equipment we didn't use because it broke or whatever, and it just happened to turn out that way. Instead of when you record an album and you do everything individually, you have all the time in the world to do it, you just try to engineer it into perfection. A lot of times you do anyway, and you can't really do that here. So it just it becomes.
Yeah, you have to commit to what it is.
Yeah,
and it's just like a record from that point in time. Yeah,
but I think that's beautiful. You know, I think it's much more interesting. I think something that makes some of my favorite records the best that they are is the context around them. Which could be the context and the time in which they were recorded, like that exact little moment that, like you get with a live show, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
you know, if you go to a gig, you only see that once. It's never the same twice.
No,
like, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. So much of it is about the kind of external factors around it, you know.
But I also think it fits our specific sound and genre. I understand why some more technical bands would have a really hard time doing it like that because everything needs to sit on a specific like point or beat or whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah. I've definitely heard of people going for a bit of a combination approach as well of sort of recording some of it in a live room but then tracking maybe like solos and vocals and stuff. Mm. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't do the vocals live.
That sucked. No. Yeah, of course. I was going to say. on a slightly different, while we're talking about live shows and things like that, and I know that this is a big question, but you've played in a lot of places over the years. Have there been any ones that have really stood out as good memories?
We talk about this a lot, like especially when we're a bit tipsy. We talk about like, hey, what's the coolest show do you think we've ever played? And it's always a different answer because that's what you think about at the moment. Mm. And sometimes it's the trip. I mean, going to Australia was absolutely crazy and amazing. And there were some good shows as well. But sometimes it's just like a really nice connection you have with the venue and the audience. And so there's been a lot of, and sometimes it's like a tour is really long and that's an endurance test, but also really like pays off. And yeah. I think it's there's a lot of different answers to that, and it would also be a shame to leave something out. So it's kind of hard to pick one.
I totally understand. Yeah, I think you've got an interesting point there as well. Is maybe it's not just about the show.
No,
it's about the whole day.
Yeah,
yeah. It's weird how the journey to a gig can be almost as memorable as the actual gig. Sometimes more memorable.
Yeah, sometimes it's just sitting in a car basically for 8 hours.
Going a little bit mad.
gig that comes to mind that like checks all the boxes of what you were just talking about, Lasse, is we were going to Punk Rock Holiday some years ago, and we had like one final stop before the festival. We're playing in some village in Slovenia, and the name escapes me.
Is it called Out of China or something like that?
Yes, it definitely is.
Was it the one where Sean Arnold was the driver?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and it was raining and I was very drunk.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly. So, Adovshna, is that how they pronounce it? I don't
know. We've asked so many people from Slovenia and we always get it wrong. Sorry, Slovenia.
Yeah, sorry. Become fast.
We try.
So we were driving all day and we were getting so late, and obviously we made the mistake that everyone does who's driving in that part of the world that where you set the GPS to the shortest route instead of the fastest route, so you go over the mountains instead of around them.
That's not like a vertical calculation there.
No. And there was a mudslide on the road, and like it was kind of dangerous and sketchy at the same time, and we were super stressed out and very tired.
Not me. I was very drunk.
Exactly, yeah. Which is the best state you could be in.
Yeah.
And Sean almost had a, I think he had a panic attack actually. Sean,
he was super stressed. He was super stressed out because he was driving in that horrible weather, and we were so late.
He knew we were late, and he wasn't even playing. He was just driving, so he felt bad about it. But anyway, so we got to the venue finally, and there wasn't really any people outside, and it was still raining, and we was like, is this the right place? And we thought it was just, you know, the random bar that you drive up to, and there's like 10 local people, and it is what it is. And then the door sprung open, like the gates to heaven, literally is like a double door, and the light was coming out, and it was just completely packed with insane Slovenian people who were just going absolutely mental to whatever band that was playing at that
Pink
time.
Pink Flamingos were playing.
Yes, and also Black Sheep.
I think Pink Flamingos were actually playing when we arrived.
And it was the best of times. I remember that a couple of years after that, when we returned to the town, we talked about that gig with someone who set it up, and we thought that this is just how shows are here. But they were like, no, everyone talks about that specific show as well. It's like it was like a legendary night, apparently.
That's the best town. One of those that really sticks in people's memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People, oh, man, that's so good. Like, I love that. And I love that we've got this little catalogue in our minds of those kinds of memories. You know, I really, really do love that. One of my favourite memories that I've probably talked about before was a drive to Slovenia as well, where I was with some of the guys from Darko and some other folks, and we were in the van, and I can't remember why, but we'd come from Belgium, but we stopped off in Austria somewhere. Oh, Petter had a ticket for someone who was with us. Right.
That does not unlike some of the experiences we've also had with review.
But it was he had a ticket, like a physical ticket for someone that was in our van. So
you make a quick stop in another country. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, quick stop somewhere in Austria. I can't remember. Well, yeah, anyway. I can't remember. All I remember is that I'd driven like 15 hours across Germany, and it was really hot, and I hadn't had a shower, and it was like I'd never been so dirty in my entire life. Like there was sweat coming out of places that I didn't know could sweat, and I was really uncomfortable, and I'd had to go through this really long drive and everyone else was asleep because we'd driven overnight and all that kind of thing. And anyway, we got to wherever we were in Austria, and I remember getting out of the van. And at this point, I'd taken my shoes off because it was so warm. I put my feet on the pavement, the stone pavement, and almost like burnt my feet. It was so hot. And just was like, oh, fuck, getting back in the van. And we then had to do the last leg of the drive across from wherever we were in Austria to Park Holiday in Slovenia. And that part of the world is so beautiful, but there are these mountains and these lakes, and driving is difficult, you know. Fun, but difficult. And I'm sure it was Borg from Darko who was insisting to drive that bit because it was the difficult bit and he was the best driver. So we all stopped at a service station and got beers. And we got really, 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 really drunk in the back of the van at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, driving across Slovenia surrounded by these amazing mountains. And we were shouting along the Spice Girls.
That's the best.
It was fantastic. But I remember everyone else was kind of coming on to Punk Rock Holiday at the time. And there was another van in front of us that was quite similar. And we were coming up and down this kind of mountain route, you know, up and down these really, really big hills. And all we could smell was like burnt out brakes or like a burnt out clutch. And it was really strong in the van. It was really like, oh, fuck, we're burning out the clutch. Something's gone wrong here. Like something's on fire. And as I say, we're following this van, and then suddenly the van in front pulled over, and we're all like, well, maybe not all of us. I think some people had passed out at this point. But those of us that were awake were panicking. And it turned out the van in front of us pulled over, and they'd burnt out theirs, and ours was fine. And I've never been so happy. We thought that we'd driven from because I'd come from Manchester, they'd all come from around London, and we'd had a pickup in Cologne as well, and we were like, right, we've all come this distance and the van's going to break down 20 minutes away from the festival.
That would have been typical right before you were there.
A classic. That was a good year though. That was good fun. But strangely, whilst I really enjoyed the festival, I think the drive probably has stuck with me more than that did, in a way.
Yeah.
Like, that was an experience, for sure.
Yeah, and yeah, you wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for that festival. So it's all part of it.
No, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Or Peter.
Or Peter, yeah. Or Borg.
The main thing I remember about driving with Borg is that that man can fart, like, and it would fill the van.
If there's anyway. One thing that man can, it's fart.
I really hope that we can make some more memories like that this year, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to make it to as many kind of mainland festivals this year, but I'm hoping for maybe Conrad if it happens.
Ah, that would be sick.
I have all of the fingers crossed because I feel like, yeah, like Manchester Punk Festival is kind of, you know, my hometown one. It's like my Christmas, and that's fantastic. And I get to see a lot of my friends from around the UK, and obviously I'm going to get to see you guys, which is fantastic. But I feel like Conrad is where I see all my kind of, you know, non-UK European pals, and I love it.
Yeah. It has such a special feeling being at Conrad.
Do you have any good memories of Conrad? Because my memories are limited.
We have a lot of memories from that. Where to start?
There's also a lot of black holes.
Fortunately, I think some of the times I shouldn't have remembered. I actually vividly remember everything.
Interesting.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that will be going ahead this year as well. And I hope that I get to see you guys in a few more places as well. I am really looking forward to seeing you at Manchester Punk Festival. For anyone who's listening, you have to go see Forever Unclean. It's not allowed not to.
Well, I mean, unless there's another band that you really want to see that you don't know and you just want to, yeah.
I mean, that's acceptable, but from my perspective.
If there's one thing I may plug, it's actually, if you're going to Manchester Punk Festival, you should also go and check out the band Nexø from Denmark. Our good pals, it's their very first time in the UK. So go and show them some love.
Yeah, great, that can't go wrong. You should do that. Let's build them up so they can live up to it.
Exactly. They are actually the best band in the world, and they will not disappoint.
No, I think Dave Grohl is in the band now, so yeah, you should check it out.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's all I really want.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Are there any other bands you're really into at the moment, even, you know, that aren't playing Manchester Punk Festival? Is there anyone new that you're obsessed with?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I've gone backwards a bit lately, which is I always try to listen to new stuff, and I get really obsessed with whenever I discover a band. But lately, I've been, because we had a bit of sun in Denmark, so sun, I've been kind of in a spring mood, and I wanted to listen to some old skate punk. So I've been listening to Bracket, an old record of theirs. Yeah. And I got in this really cool sunny summer mood, and then it got gray again. So I don't know what I'm going to listen to now.
Probably I've been getting into a band called Cabin Boy.
Cabin Boy.
Yeah. It's kind of emo-ish, but also not, I guess. It's all over the place, really.
I love bands that are emo, but also not.
Yes.
That's my favorite genre.
You love bands with a boy in the name.
Yeah, definitely.
I also like bands that are emo, but also not. Mainly because while we call things emo now, in my head, emo is like My Chemical Romance, which is very confusing. but I like stuff that's got a little bit of an emo flavor, but that is actually quite different. Anyway, but yeah, honestly, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. And I really look forward to catching up with you in person soon as well.
Likewise.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Sarah. It's been great.
Thank you. Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Thank you so much to Leo and Lassie for joining me on the podcast tonight. It was so great to speak to them and have a bit of a catch up, especially since we've not seen each other for a couple of years. I cannot implore you enough to go and check out their set live, but also to check out their record Best. As I said, that's out now on Nasty Cut Records, Hidden Home Records, and Disconnect in the UK. It's a really fantastic little romp. It comes in at 11 tracks that clock in at about 21 minutes, I think. So you know what? That is definitely worth 21 minutes of your life. They're so much fun. They're so energetic. They're so current. They're so interesting and they're such nice people. Yeah, you absolutely have to go and give them a listen. Thank you so much for listening for this today, and thank you for the feedback on the podcast that we've done recently. Honestly, I've been overwhelmed by some of the great feedback that we've received. If you want to go and check out our past podcasts, then please do. They're available on pretty much every podcast platform you can think of. We've had some great episodes and guests recently. I had Cy Walker from Rash Decision in the Seabin podcast. I had Matty and Greeny from Roughneck Riot, Joe from The Human Project and Sounds of Swami, Calvin from Grand Collapse, Danny from Faintest Idea and Knife Club. Honestly, I've had some great guests on recently and I've got more lined up over the next few weeks as well. I'm in a good mood right now, so the podcast is currently coming out a little bit more regularly than usual. And again, thank you so much for your support. If you want to go and check out our interviews, articles, reviews, all that kind of thing, then please head over to shout-louder.com or give us a shout out on socials. We are at shoutlouderzine. Thank you so much for listening tonight. To close things out, I'm just going to play a track from the new album. I say the album is called Best, and I'm going to play a track called Crowds, because I think it might be my favourite. I hope that you enjoy this. Thanks again to Forever Unclean, and I'll see you down the front.